Appreciate everyone coming in with the storms. We had several people taken out, and so that had signed up to do some kitchen help, so we're short, and then we had several people out of town, and so people are coming in still, and so it's a little bit different Sunday. We moved everything indoors. I'm glad we did. We didn't want to be exclusive. We wanted to include everybody, and we knew that some of the seniors couldn't come if it was outdoors, and also our bathroom situation for others was the situation. So we decided to move it inside. It was a good decision, I think, we made last week, and so people are still coming in, and we're expecting a good number of people. But I want to share a little scripture with you this morning, because we've been in this all of August. And so this morning's a little different. The children will be with us inside, and Apostle Linda will be giving you some instruction after worship. And so just relax, okay? This isn't the norm. I have to relax, moving from, I think I got macaroni in my fingers. And so I get macaroni off, so if I, this is totally not me. we've been talking about Holy Spirit and being one, and we're one body. We're going to read several scriptures are very important where we are in this hour. And of course, we've been talking about the storm that's coming. I didn't name it a storm back in Memorial Day, but I said that we got something that's going to really be big in September, and so we're preparing to expand ourselves in our inner man so that we're ready for whatever happens. And this week's been crazy. If you've been following the news, just all kinds of crazy things happening, and so we need to be ready. And we've been talking about Holy Spirit expanding us on the inside, but also the power of one. And so the power of one. So I want to talk to you about that, because in Acts chapter 2 in verse 1 through 4, it says they were together in one place on the day of Pentecost, the outpouring. They were in one place, but in chapter 1 it says they were of one mind. We can be in one place but be of different minds. So the number of people that we have gathering this morning, those that you yet to come in, and those watching online, we can be all in one place or one time, but all different minds. And so the power of one is that we're of one mind. Not that we have different opinions, that's all right. But there's a place of DNA that we're the same. So I'm going to read several scriptures of the power of one for you this morning. One of the scriptures we've looked at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And it says this, and listen, in three verses, it uses one seven times. So just listen to this. It says, "For even as the body is one, and yet has many members, all the members of that body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ." So he does a comparison with our natural body. We have many members, and yet it's one body. Many different functions, but the same body. So it is with the body of Christ, then the church. We're many members, but one body. And so he says again, "For even as one body..." Even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we are all made to drink of one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many members. And then Ephesians chapter 4. We've been looking at Ephesians 4, but listen in this one, it even has more ones in it than 1 Corinthians 12. So Ephesians 4 in verse 3. "Be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body, one Spirit, just also as you were called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." So we see that in Ephesians chapter 4. And then we looked at Philippians chapter 2 and talking about Jesus. It says, "Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also the interest of others. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ. So Christ's attitude is he laid down to serve. And even though we're many members here this morning, I'm going to say that just in a morning like this, and we're trying to put things together and people still coming in, you're going to have opportunity to be offended. Yeah. But let's let this attitude be in you this morning. We're many members, but the same body. We have different functions. And so we're choosing not to get offended. You might get offended going through the lunch line, you know. Maybe you're at the end of the line and the macaroni's gone. We'll pray it increases, but something's going to happen this morning. The service isn't normal. You know, the children are in, people are still coming in. So let's take this attitude that was in Jesus. We're one member, one body, many different members. And I like the diversity that we have in our body here at Harvest Christian Church. And so just remember and take this attitude, the same attitude that was in Jesus. Can you imagine him walking the earth and walking among all the people he had to walk on and guard himself from being offended? And so we're not going to be offended this morning. We're just going to flow, be a little bit more relaxed this morning. We're celebrating the end of a tough season, but we're getting ready for the next season, next Labor Day, not just naturally, but spiritually also, because we got some things coming this week. We heard, just get ready, because the next lockdown has already started. And I'll just tell you that we got it confirmed. It's already happening in California. Things are happening really fast. So watch the time limit of the next lockdown. They said by the middle of September, the TSA and the airport employees will be masked. And by the end of middle of October, all the airports and passengers will be masked and locked down. But then by the middle of November, they're going to start going into venues and places of gathering, because if you had, and let me just give this, and okay, I'm on it, so we're going to give you. They've already tagged this new variant, and if you've heard it, it's already in Michigan. It's very contagious. This new variant of is called E something, and I don't know what it is, but the name of it is Eris. It's E and it's a number, and then they called it Eris, E-R-I-S. And it literally means strife and discord. They're already naming it. They're trying to divide and separate. And so the power of one, it doesn't matter if you mask or don't mask, but it doesn't matter about your opinion, but honor each other in it, you know. So you're going to have to make some your own decisions over this next time, because they're moving into it, and we won't get into all that other stuff. You have to wait till the fall as I get download what Holy Spirit's saying. So I want to pray this morning, because it says they were in one place and one accord. And what did they do in that one place and one accord? They were praying. So I want to pray, and then we're going to go and worship. Worship does something that unites us like nothing else. I mean, when we come into worship, we lay down all of our mindsets, our agendas out there, and our focus is on one. And that one is Jesus. And so we're to worship him in spirit and truth. So let's pray, and let's be in one accord. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you that so much is happening, that, Father, we even feel the tension in the atmosphere, even here, Father, even some tension, that Father, just confusion. And we pray for those, Father, that went through the storm and are still recovering. We thank you, Father, that you give them special grace right now, those that are still without power. power, those that are still trying to put their property back together and from the down trees and limbs. And so we pray for them right now. We pray for this region right now. The tension that we feel in it, the tension we know, Father, that is always, Father, felt in the city of Detroit with the law enforcement and in this time of year, the heat and the tension, Father. We just bind, Father, anger from exploding. We see it happening all across this nation. Anger being expressed in shootings and all kinds of violence. And so we thank you that we know there's a tension in the heavenlies, Father. So we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness. And so we keep our eyes on the right source, and we keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And you said, Father, have this attitude. So we take on the attitude of Jesus right now, that we cannot be offended, Father. We cannot, Father, get in the area of strife one with another, that we're one body, many members. And so, Father, as we fix our eyes on Jesus, he's the author and the finisher of our faith. And we pray not only, Father, for your body, the body of Christ in this region, every church is gathered this morning. As I listen and talk to pastors, Father, the same tension is happening. That, Father, members are confused, Father. And, Father, they're going through trials and tests. And we thank you that even this morning it's a minor test. How will we handle being together? And when offenses come, how do we deal with it? That we stay in faith and we protect the unity of the Spirit. So I thank you this morning that we choose. We're going to have a good time, Father, this morning. We're celebrating, Father, what you've done through the summer months, and what you continue to do as you pour out your Spirit upon us in a fresh and new way. We thank you that, Father, you said everything that can be shaken will be shaken. So we thank you. There's still massive shakings taking place throughout this earth, and we thank you there's more shakings to come. But we thank you that in the middle of the shaking, we thank you that your church is persevering. Your people, Father, are rising up because our eyes are fixed on you, Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So we thank you this morning that we choose to worship you in spirit and truth. We choose right now to surrender unto you and to give you all glory and all praise, that we're one in worship. We worship you in spirit and in truth as the body of Christ, many members, one body. And so we thank you that we've been baptized into one body. We've been baptized by one Spirit. And we thank you. We choose to remain one right now, one in Jesus. And we're in him and he's in us. And so we pray right now. Pray for our city. We pray for our surrounding counties, Oakland and Wayne and Macomb and Washington, Livingston right now. And the tension, Father, from these storms that passed through this week right now. We thank you, Father, for the peace of God that covers this area. And we welcome right now your peace. Surround us with your comfort, the comfort of Holy Spirit. So we thank you. We honor you. We thank you. We're reminded that we're many members, yet one body. And we rejoice in that as we worship you this morning. Stand with me and let's worship him this morning.
We breathe you in. We breathe you out. Breathe you in, we breathe you out. You're the breath of life. We breathe you in, we breathe you out. I give you glory for all you've brought me through. And now I'm ready for whatever you wanna do. I'm moving forward. Whatever you a promise and he won't stop now. We are possessing the land through prayer, praise, and power, taking a stand with the Holy Ghost and power, and in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, oh, 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 we are possessing the land. Sound of war. Every demon has to flee when the Lion of Judah roars. Oh, 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 oh. Shout at every gate that's in the city. Prophesy to principalities. Possessing the land through prayer, praise, and power, taking a stand with the Holy Ghost and power, and in the name of Jesus, the mighty name of Jesus, oh, 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 we are possessing the land. Judah rose. Oh, shout at every gate that's in the city. Prophesy to principalities. Jesus Christ is Lord and he is coming. And he has given us authority. Yeah. like mighty men. We shall climb the wall like mighty men of war. We shall run everyone in his way. We shall stand together. We shall not break rank. We lift our hands to you.
Oh,
I can hear the angels sing. The realm of your grace, I can feel your mighty power moving in this place. In the presence of angels, God's glory on their wings, like the voice of many waters, I can hear the angels sing. Thank you. and might. Heaven and earth fill your glory. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might.
Sons and daughters, and as you begin to come before me, seek my face, and be growing and strengthening my grace, it will endure you to run the race. And as you run the race, the trials that come upon you, you will overcome. And there are multitudes that have fallen away, and they are making their way back. And as you walk in my glory, they will see it upon you, they will be strengthened to come even farther from the way that they have failed. And you are the vessel that I have chosen and ordained in this hour. And to know that you will overcome and you will prevail as you seek my face and my grace.
Amen. Yes, yes, yes. Just receive that. Just receive that.
you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy never fails me. All my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up till I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. Your voice, you have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. The goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. If my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running. The goodness of God. Oh, my life, you have been faithful. All my life, you have been so, so good. Yeah. Every breath that I am able, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. In darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, known you as a friend. I have lived in the goodness of God. The goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Yeah. Your goodness is running after, it's running. the goodness of God. I will sing of the goodness of God.
Yes, yes,
you're
yes.
So good.
We say you are good. You know, as we were singing that, he's running after us. Then quit your running away from him. He wants to show you his goodness. Amen. He's good. He's good all the time. You may be seated. A couple things I just wanted to make sure everybody understands, you know, that when we were singing Hosanna, some people say, well, who's Hosanna? Well, in the scripture, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, they laid the palm branches on the road, and they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Jesus is Hosanna. Just before he went to the cross, he came in the triumphant entry into Jerusalem, and they were singing, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. So when we were singing that, we're just singing about Jesus. Amen? And so it wasn't bringing someone else in. A couple other things just to let you know. Remember that we're not in a war against flesh and blood. And I had to talk to several people this week, and from outside, one was a Jewish man that I just encounter in this walk that I do. And I've engaged him, and he challenged me. He knows the Old Testament, especially he knows the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, because that's the Torah. And so he was talking about that he didn't believe in evil. So I just talked to him. I says, well, I know you read Genesis. So I took him to Genesis 1. He says, yeah, I read through it all the time. I says, well, in Genesis chapter 1, God created Adam and Eve, put them in the garden. And then it says the serpent, and later in scripture it tells us the serpent is the devil, Satan. He came and tempted him in the garden. And after that, he gave in to the temptation. Then Jesus said to Adam and Eve, he says, I'll put, what was the word? Enmity between you and your seed and the woman and her seed. And in the New Testament, we know the seed of woman was in the virgin birth. Mary gave birth to Jesus. And Satan's seed are all those principalities and powers in heavenly places. A lot of what we're seeing, I believe, is very demonic in this nation. When you see mass shootings by people that seem to be in their right mind, all of a sudden they snap. And so there's a war going on. And it's a war for the souls of people. And so I was talking to him, and I didn't tell him all that stuff. I just said, go read Genesis chapter 1, that we are in a war. And it's not a war against flesh and blood. We're not fighting politicians. We're not fighting, you know, people. We're fighting principalities and powers. And so what we do here, that when we come in, we just worship as one. And we're worshiping Jesus. We're believing for each and every one of you, not just to know about him, but to have an encounter with him. Oh, and you say, do we have to sing so long? I got people that tell me that all the time. For 40 years they come in. We have people, and some of you that are here wouldn't come in until after worship. Yeah, it's, oh me, I heard that. Some they wouldn't come in until after worship because they didn't understand that it's all about Jesus and we're worshiping him. And we've been set free, and we want to give him glory and honor for what he's done in us. And so when we're worshiping, he's a guest of honor. We're not singing just nice songs to feel good. We got our focus on him. And then when you sing holy, 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 that's what's happening in heaven right now. In Revelation in the Bible, it tells us around the throne, the angels, and there's three angels called seraphims, that all they do around the throne is cry, holy, holy, holy. And when they cry, holy, 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 there's a gathering of all the believers and they enter in. So when we're singing holy, 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 what's happening, I believe, is we're joining in with those that have already gone before us. And we're as one in on earth as it is in heaven. And this is the fulfillment of praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So there is coming a time when heaven and earth are going to become one, and we're part of that. When we receive Jesus, we become part of the kingdom of God. We become a citizen of God. We become the family of God. That's what he wants, is families. And so we're many members, but one family. Just like many members in one body. And so just, you know, the songs we're singing, as one and all that, and, you know, we run like mighty men, you know. Well, we are as one. He calls the body of Christ an army sometimes. And sometimes he calls us a family. Sometimes he calls us the church and the body of Christ. And so it's all talking about the same entity, but the person we're glorifying is Jesus. Amen. And so just let you know, and I get to do the announcements this morning, and then turn it over to Pastor Linda. So a couple of quick announcements. We're moving into, it's hard to believe, this is the last weekend of the summer. And in Michigan, we really know when Labor Day comes, that's kind of like saying, hey, our summer's ended. I don't know about you, but this week I felt that strange wind that comes in that tells you the fall is here. I could feel that. I went home and told her, and she says, don't tell me. And I says, well, I'm going to tell you, it's here. And I could feel it, and you just feel it in the atmosphere. But just as there's a change of season, there's a change of season in the spiritual that's happening, and he wants us to be aware. So we're just celebrating the summer months and celebrating what Jesus did. The goodness of God is running after us. And so stop running and surrender. Let him catch you. Let him run over you. That's all right. You'll be okay and experience Jesus. So in September, we're going to hit the road running September 6th and 13th on Wednesday nights from 7 to 9. Prophet Susie's going to be teaching on the prophetic. We've been learning about the gifts of the Spirit and Holy Spirit and stirring up. And everywhere I go and listen to the ones I listen to hear what Holy Spirit is saying, they're talking about Holy Spirit, and they're talking about praying in tongues and in the Spirit. Because, in fact, I had two conversations this week that people came up and said, man, as I pray in tongues, I feel my faith building up. And I said to both of them, you know that's scriptural? And they went, I said, yeah. The two people I had. And then I talked to Apostle Lynn. She says, yeah, as I pray, you can just feel your faith building on the inside. So the gifts of the Spirit are for us to go into this next season. So the 6th and the 13th will be here in the sanctuary. And Prophet Susie will be training us on prophetic. It says, desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy. So we want to do that and honor that. And so join us the 6th and the 13th. And then in October, and we're working on the details of this, but October, November, we're going to do a class on biblical citizenship. And so we need to know what the Bible has to say about being citizens and biblical citizenship. And so you want to be here. It's going to be good to be on Wednesday nights, and you need to know what the Constitution really says, and the Founding Fathers meant it to say, because they wrote these letters, and these letters are for us to read. So we just want you to put that on your calendar in October, November. And then a connecting point is, what is it, this week or week? It's a week from this coming Saturday. It's the 9th. And so, ladies, you want to come out because and start the season just running together as one. And God's doing a lot of things with the ladies and connecting points. So you want to be a part of that. So, and you're giving, you can just put it in envelopes. We don't receive an offering here, but if you brought your offering, you can put it in the envelope, and there's boxes in the hallway, or you can give online. You can give by text. I haven't done any of that. I like the old style, write a check, put it in the envelope, and put it in the box. But if you like the new method, you can pay online and give online. So this morning, a little different, so go with the flow, and let's welcome Apostle Linda as she comes to share.
Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. He did say we don't receive an offering. Actually, we receive it. We just don't collect it. You put it in and we receive it and we put it right where it needs to be. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. We have a different Sunday, and today a lot of the kids are with us, so I want to invite the kids, and that includes our youth, to come down, because we're going to ask you to be part of the demonstration of what's taking place today. So if I could get all the children and the youth, come on now, Deshaun and Jimmy. Yeah, Jamie, come on down. We're going to put you to work today. Okay, hopefully you guys got some snacks beforehand. Hopefully you did. If you didn't, we'll have to pass them out as we go. But what we're going to do is Miss Chase is going to give each one of these kids a puzzle. How many have ever done a puzzle? Okay. Well, our kids, some of them are not into these kind of puzzles, but we're going to do it today. And so, oh yeah, we got quite a crowd. Hopefully we've got enough puzzles here for all of you. Have you ever done a puzzle before? Yes, we have a yes over here. Have you ever done a puzzle before?
Maybe.
Oh, we're going to leave it open. Okay. Well, this group likes to earn what they call shekels, which are like currency in some ways in our children's ministry and our youth ministry. And so today you get to earn some shekels. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You like that? Uh-huh. See, I got an okay here. We're going to earn some shekels by completing a puzzle. Okay, so she's going to hand out puzzles to you. Some are more challenging because we have some more challenging people here. And you're going to spread out anywhere on the floor here. If you have to go up and down the aisles, you can do that too. And I don't mind a little confusion. No, I'm a mom and a grandma, so if we have a little confusion, it's okay. Miss Chase did say, you know, you have to be pretty brave to do this, but okay, I'm brave. Okay, no, we're going to, once they get them, I need everybody to look my way. I got some eyes over here. I got ZJ looking my way. Deshaun's looking my way. She's looking, yep, I got eyes here, yep. Okay, what you're going to do in just once I say go, you're going to find a place on the floor, anywhere on the floor over here, or you can go up the aisle if you want to, and you're going to open up your puzzle, and you're going to spread it out, and you're going to start putting it together. Now, I have two directions for you. You can lift up one hand. Everybody show me one arm, one hand, and keep it in the air. That means you need some help. So, see, this gentleman, he knew he's not going to have to do that, right? What's your name, sir?
Martez.
Marcus, he says, I'm not going to need that help. Martez. I'm sorry. I said it incorrectly. I'm sorry, Martez. Okay. Now, can you put up two hands in the air? That means your puzzle's done. And then you get a shekel, and if you want, you can put your puzzle back in the box, and if we have any, we can exchange them, and you can do another one to earn some more shekels, okay? All righty. Actually, I think if they, you know, make sure if they did a really hard puzzle, they might need more than one shekel. You know, judges here will discern. Okay, you ready? Trinity's ready. She said yes. Okay, I'm glad she's ready. Okay, if you look like they need some help and we don't have enough people helping, somebody who loves to do puzzles might just quietly go down and give them a hand, okay? And then, of course, go back to your seat. Got it? Got it? Ready? Look, find a place. Don't bump into each other. Go get a place and start doing your puzzle. There you go. Oh, some people want to go up high. Everybody likes to go up high. They've always wanted to be on stage, so let them be on stage and try not to be too distracted at this, okay? A couple of weeks ago, see, I got another helper in here. A couple of weeks ago, I was listening to a message. I was listening to a preacher preaching, and he was preaching from Hebrews. And I'm going to start by reading Hebrews chapter 10, and I'm going to use the Passion to read this. And he was reading in Hebrews 10, and it said, and now, I'm starting in verse 19. And now we are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. Apostle Bob already explained all this to you. We are brothers and sisters. We refers to who? Oh, yeah, every one of us. We are brothers and sisters in God's family because of the blood of Jesus. He welcomes us to come right into the most holy sanctuary in the heavenly realm boldly with no hesitation, for he has dedicated a new life-giving way for us to approach God. For just as the veil was torn in two, Jesus' body was torn open to give us free and fresh access to him. And since we now have a magnificent high priest to welcome us into God's house, we come closer to God, approach him with an open heart, fully convinced that by faith that nothing will keep us at a distance from him. For our hearts have been sprinkled with blood to remove impurity. We have been freed from an accusing conscience. Now we are clean, unstained, and presentable to God inside and out. So now we cling tightly to the hope that lives in us, knowing that God always keeps his promises. And then it gives us, since it declares who we are and what we are, then it says, discover creative ways to encourage others. Okay, I think there's some people here encouraging and showing us, demonstrating what it is to kind of come on somebody who's in the middle of doing something challenging and encourage them. And so discover creative ways to encourage others, to motivate them towards acts of compassion, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. Each one of these puzzles is going to be beautiful when it comes together. Okay, I'm certain of that. Okay, he says, doing beautiful works as expressions of love. This is not a time to pull away and neglect meeting together, as some have formed the habit of doing, because we need in each other. In fact, we should come together even more frequently, eager to encourage and urge each other onward as we anticipate that day dawning. That day dawning, I think Apostle Bob is talking about that day. Oh, I got two hands up here, Miss Chase. Make sure, stay on top of it here. Okay, she's got an easy one. I think I might have to share. I have a few extra ones here. If you need one of these, or you got enough? Okay, I have enough in this to share them, okay? The scripture, as this person was teaching, they were sharing a reference to things. But I heard by the Spirit of God this particular scripture that I'm sure you have read in your word and have heard it taught in different ways. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. And it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as in the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. As he was reading the scripture, the person I was listening to, I knew it was the voice of God who quickened me, and he, about that part that says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And God said, in this day, my people are forsaking, they're resisting being assembled together. And when he said that, as it is when God speaks to you, I had a whole revelation of truth with it. And I thought, well, Lord, I don't see that when I look in translations of the Bible, because this scripture is usually talking about people like gathering together and coming into one place to worship or hear the teaching and that. But he said clearly to me, my people are resisting being assembled together. think of that, being assembled together. Right away, it made me think of a puzzle. Here's my big puzzle box. Anybody later want to try a 500 piece? It's right here. If you notice, a 500 piece has a lot of pieces. A lot of pieces. In order to do this puzzle and create the very beautiful creative picture that's on the front of my puzzle, those pieces have to be assembled together. They have to come together. And God said, I'm bringing my church together. I'm making us tightly fitted together. And he says, it's not a day to resist, but to be aware that's what I'm doing. Whenever God gives a judgment or evaluation like that, when he said to me, my people are resisting assembling together, I know he always brings it not as a condemnation, but as an exhortation, as an opportunity to receive the grace he's pouring out. He said, there's a grace being poured out on each one of us that we could be assembled together, that we could come and fit together. You know, each of these kids are putting a puzzle together, and they have to look at how, okay, which color, where does this one go, how does this go, look at this, Emma. Good job. I knew she could do it. I think we're going to have another one down here. I think some people are really especially good at this. He said, my church cannot be at a time of resisting. And what does that mean when it says that they were forsaking their own? I think that's interesting, their own. There's a place of identity that each one of us needs to identify with the assembling together. There's not a single one who isn't supposed to be part of the assembly. Everyone, you might be one of these, 500 pieces, but you're one of them. And you belong to this picture, and you need to come together. And so it says they were forsaking it. Some were resisting. But forsake also means neglecting. Neglecting, like not really giving sufficient attention to it. And God is saying, wake up, wake up, wake up. This is what we're doing. Like right now, I'm seeing a lot of attention given to what they're doing. You should note these older ones who have 100 pieces, much more challenging than the 25 pieces here. And they're giving their attention to it. They're focusing on it. Really kind of amazing that this is working. Oh. They're focusing on giving their attention to putting that together. And God said, will you in this day allow me my grace to make you attentive to being assembled together, being put together. 1 Peter 2:5 said, you, meaning you and I, also as living stones are being built into a spiritual house for a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are like living stones. And we're not supposed to be a stone pile. You know, we're not to be a pile somewhere, a stone pile somewhere. It's not about, we have 75 people in our church. We have 280. Huh, we have 450. I want to know, of all those people, how many are being assembled together? Because God is not into gathering of stones and saying, what a beautiful stone pile. You know, I mean, I could set my puzzle out on my coffee table and say, look at my puzzle. Look at my puzzle. Aren't you impressed with my puzzle? No, I'm not impressed too much until it's put together and looks like this. And so God says that's what he's doing in us. He's bringing us together. We're not a box of pieces. If my budget had entailed it, I would have bought Legos for every one of them. Don't tell them that. But my favorite are Legos. Anybody here ever done Legos? Okay. Two Christmases ago, my son and daughter-in-law gave me as a gift a huge Lego box, a project. It was a little cottage. It was just amazing. And I thought, what made you think to buy your mother a box of Legos? I was so excited. It's like, yes, like my dream, a giant project of Legos to put together. And so every few days, you know, I'd have this one end of our coffee table and I'd say, give me a little time, I'm going to do Legos, you know. And now they do Legos much better than they used to do. They give you little bags, like this is step one, and you have a bag, and you empty that, and you put that part together, and then you open the next bag. I remember the days when you opened everything all at once, and oh my gosh, looking for that one part was crazy. But think of it, we are like that. God has said, I'm working a project. I have this awesome project, and even different than a puzzle in that it's dimensional. And you know what? All my pieces are different. I mean, there's some the same, but they're different colors, a whole bunch of colors. They're different shapes. Let's not think about our shapes. They're different sizes. They have different functions, but they all go together. And until they're put together, they're really not much good. I mean, you could look at that box of just, you know, a bunch of Legos and think, cool. But it's much more fun putting them together and building something. And God is into building. And he said there's grace being poured out that he could build something, that he could take us as living stones and put us together. And we think, God, I can look at this to know how to put my puzzle together. In fact, if you do a puzzle with a group of people, you're usually all, let me see the picture again. Let me see the picture again. Because you're trying to figure out, where's the red? Where's that piece? And it gives you some clues. Sometimes with building this part, we have to figure out, what's a clue to what God's building? What do we know he's building? Well, we know he's building one body. We sang about as one. Amy and I didn't go together, and I say, make sure all your songs this time talk about one body, and you know, one. And yet she did. And when Apostle Bob told me what he was going to do with opening, I'm like, oh, really? I think God is wanting to say something today about us as one, being one. So that's what we know his picture is. I don't know what that looks like, because I know parts of that body are in Nigeria. One of those people are coming soon. A part of those people are in Nigeria. Part of those people are, you know, in Brazil. And part of those people are in Georgia. Part of, you know, those parts of this, our body, our puzzle, in all different places. But God says, I'm doing an amazing work. And I'm bringing them together. And I'm making them one. Don't resist what I'm doing. Tap into the grace of what I'm doing to build something. It's going to look beautiful. Romans 12:5. So we, who are many, are one body in Christ. Whoa. God says, what you are, I'm going to make evident. You are one body. This is one puzzle. But it's many parts, but it's coming together, right? Look it, we got another one here. Where's Miss Chase? We got another one. Good job. Look at that. Oh, very good. Oh, you guys are missing the masterpieces, but don't miss the big masterpiece that's being built. 1 Corinthians 12:12-13. For even as the body is one, yet it has many members. And all the members of that body, though they are many, are one body, so is Christ. By one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, we are all made to drink of one Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:20-21. We are many members, one body. I mean, you just go through the Word, and there's so many places where he talks about us being one body. Ephesians 4:4-6, there's one body, one Spirit. You are called into one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God. That God is saying, one, we are built into one. Do you recognize that? Do you recognize that you're part of something? You're part of something very big. We're part of something very big, and we're being built together. We're being assembled together, and it's not a day to not give attention to that. God said, I'm stirring up my people that they wouldn't forsake or neglect what I'm doing, but recognize I'm bringing you together. In fact, in this day, when we're anticipating things being even more difficult in the world system, storms coming in that. I don't know about you, but in our household, when you get word that there's going to be a massive storm coming through, you huddle together. You find a place to be together, close together. Nobody wants to be isolated by themselves in the midst of a difficult time. So this time we need to be united. We need to be connected with one another. We need to be doing what's necessary to be together. And God says, let me do that. 1 Thessalonians 3:12. 1 Thessalonians 3:12 says, and may the Lord cause you to increase and abound in love for one another and for all people. It says, may the Lord, like may meaning we're giving that release and we're declaring, Lord, do it. Bring increase so that we might increase and abound in our love for one another. We have to increase in our willingness to connect to one another and to recognize where we're to be connected. You know, I don't know, sometimes when we do puzzles, not this complicated, but more like some of these with our kids when they were small, sometimes you'd see them like, in other words, they're really pushing to get a piece in where it doesn't go. And God says, don't push yourself where you don't belong. Let me show you where you perfectly fit. He's designed us to perfectly fit. He said, you don't have to fit yourself in a place that doesn't work. You can find the place. I have that place for you. And actually, I have to say, even though it's difficult as a leader of a church to say, for some people, this local body isn't that place. And there's some people in other places that should be over here with us. Because we're all part of the work in the body of Christ, and you need to be fitted. But don't take off and leave, okay? You need to recognize how we're to fit in. But let God do that work. Amen. Let God move it. I don't know. I have my kind of pretend puzzle piece here, you know? And you're trying to see, where does it go? How does it fit? And sometimes you're pressing in or you're working on it somewhere else, but it's the Lord. It's the Lord will show you exactly how to fit in. That's why Apostle Bob's been talking about us recognizing our gifts, recognizing our abilities, because it helps us to recognize, that's where I fit so well, you know? Maybe you should be stirring macaroni instead. Oh, no. That's not your place, okay? In 1 Thessalonians, just a little further on, in chapter 4 instead of chapter 3, in chapter 4, 9 and 10 says, now, as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed, you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in Macedonia, but we urge you to excel still more. God's been teaching us how to love one another. And it says in this verse, excel even more. God's saying, excel even more. In other words, it's almost like we're already, you know, the laid out puzzle on the table, and we've sorted. Do you ever do this when you're doing a puzzle? I'm sure you do. You put kind of the pieces that would be the red over in this section, and the pieces that are the bright blue, that'll be the sky, they're kind of over here. Oh, I have a piece that looks like it's more in the blue, and you move it over there, and the piece that's the icy water, this kind of a silvery color, you move it here, you know, you move those places like that. But there's got to be a time to come together. We've been allowing God to do that kind of work with us, or we've been letting ourselves step into that. But now's the time to move into it even more so. In Romans 14, 19 through 20, it says, so then, I always like when there's a so then. And I'll say, so then, with all that's been going on, we pursue the things which make for peace and building up of one another. Do not tear down the work of God. In the Passion Translation, it says, stop ruining the work of God by insisting on your own opinions. You know, it's like, why are you insisting that that piece goes over there when it goes here? Or why are you destroying or ruining the work of God by coming along? I think if you saw the intensity going on here, and if you saw me, and if I came along and started kicking these and knocking them, like, I just don't think this gentleman would appreciate it if I start shuffling up his pieces. And that's how we should say, no, don't break up the what God is doing. Don't ruin the work. In other words, get in on it. Don't get in the way of it. So it says, pursue the things that make for peace and building up of one another. Pursue is the opposite of forsake that was in Hebrews. People are forsaking, resisting being assembled together. But he said, instead, pursue it. Like, get intense about building this. Let God be intense and you get engaged in it too. You know, I don't know. I think sometimes, like when I was doing my Lego project, so much fun. When I was doing it, there were times that I wanted to say, you don't really want dinner tonight, do you? You know, I'm just like, I'm focused on doing this, and I'm so excited. I'm building the little chimney. It was a little cottage. I'm putting the roof in, and now I'm already at the place of building the tables and chairs to go inside it. I was getting real intense, but God says, go ahead, get intense about that. Go and get intense and delighted. There's a lot of things that we focus our lives on. And he said, don't neglect the building of ourselves, the assembling of ourselves together. He says, instead, it says, pursue the things that make for building up of one another. Pursue them. In Ephesians 4, 1 through 4, it says, be diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit. To preserve. So we're going to pursue the building up together, and then we're going to be careful to take care of it. Just as I said, I wouldn't go through, and this young lady over here, she's very intense on doing hers. John, you're doing great. Hey, good job. Look at that. Yeah, you're about halfway done. Are you helping out over there? She's helping out. That's good. Oh, yep, look at, oh, you're doing good over there. I think they're harder than I thought. Okay, sometimes this is harder than we think. We think, oh yeah, I'll just be one with the body of Christ. I'll join together. But you know what? It's not always as easy as that. In fact, in that scripture in Ephesians 4, it says, I implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling for which you've been called, with all humility, gentleness, patience, showing tolerance for one another in love. That's how we preserve the unity, is that we have a tolerance for one another. We're patient with one another. 1 Corinthians 1:10, and I'm going to read this one in the Passion. It says, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, to agree to live in unity with one another. Put to rest any division that attempts to tear you apart. Be restored as one united body, and living in perfect harmony. Form a consistent choreography among yourselves, having a common perspective with shared values. He said that there's going to be an attempt to bring division. Let that never be one of us that attempt to divide. But he said there's going to be attempts to tear you apart. To tear you apart. That's like the big bully who would come along when you're, you know, 3/4 away with your puzzle and starts tearing it apart. God is much more frustrated with the things, the elements in the earth that have tried to tear us apart as the body of Christ. I mean, think, if there is another infection, disease coming through, and they're giving it the name strife and discord. Well, what's strife and discord? It's elements to tear something apart. And then there'll be a sense of, you get to keep you safe, you better separate yourself from one another. We have to be wise. There can be a time that you're physically apart from someone, but you're still united. But there's times when you can't be. So let's be very careful and wise in this day of what it means to be connected together and recognize. God says, I'll give you opportunity to recognize what would tear you apart, the things that would try to come in and bring you apart. Romans 15, 5 and 8 says, now may the Lord God, who gives perseverance and encouragement, grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just going to stop there for a minute. God, Jesus said, your unity will demonstrate you believe in me. Your unity will demonstrate that you're one with me. So it says in here that with one voice you'll glorify God the Father. And so then it goes on in verse 7 of chapter 15 of Romans. Therefore, accept one another, just as Christ also accepted us to the glory of God. Accept one another. The Passion says, you'll bring God glory when you accept and welcome one another as partners, just as the Anointed One has fully accepted you and received you as his partner. He says, accept and welcome. That's just so delightful. If you could have seen this young lady go over and be with ZJ, and she's helping him, and he allowed her to come. He didn't say, I can do this on myself. Thank you. He welcomed her. He saw, look at, she knows what she's doing. I'm going to welcome her. Okay, it's a time to welcome and accept. But who's God going to ask us to welcome and accept? I mean, who are the ones he's going to bring in? If you were to look at Acts chapter 9, and I'm just going to kind of read or briefly give you my version of Acts 9, but you need to go back and read this story. This is a story of Paul's conversion. Okay, I'm really going to find it. Okay, Acts chapter 9. This is the conversion of Paul. Do you know who Paul is? You know, we know he wrote most of this New Testament. In other words, he's part of a tool that God used to build, but he didn't always come in that way. It's in chapter 9 of Acts, it says, and now Saul, who later we called him Paul, Saul still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest asking for letters from him. So if he found anyone belonging to the way, Christian men and women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem and bring them into prison. That might sound like somebody we don't want to accept. Like, wait a minute, who's this person who is breathing out threats and murderous? Paul actually was responsible, personally responsible, and then worked with others to put many believers, many men and many women, in prison. Some to then suffer death there, some in isolation, some to be used in the Colosseums against the lions, and all kinds of things. But he was against Christians, and he was not just, I don't like those Christians. He was using his power and authority. Do you have anybody who maybe works with you on the job who is using their position of authority to come against you as a believer, to create an uncomfortable place? At school, our students, maybe they have some people who are bullying them because they say they're believers. I don't know, but Paul was such as that. But God had an intention for Paul. And if you read on in that chapter, you read about Paul's dramatic, I don't know which conversion wouldn't be dramatic, everybody says, a dramatic conversion where God spoke to him and said, why are you persecuting me? He's like, wait, I'm not persecuting you, God. I'm after these people. Yep, they're my body. And so if you're persecuting my body, you're persecuting me. He said, what are you doing? And he became a converted Christian. What was that like for the other Christians? You know, here you're going to have this, we're going to have this nice dinner and with us believers, you know, us group, we're going to hang out together. And all of a sudden this person comes in and we know he's been nasty and mean and unkind and brutal to people like us, believers. And he's coming now and we're supposed to, here, I'll make you a place at the table and let you be included in. I don't know how challenging that was for so many. You get some as you read through in Acts of how some people resisted and said, wait a minute, Lord. They had to have God speak to them and say, I want you to reach out to him. But there's going to be, God is saying, remember, I'm doing a work to assemble my body together. And there's some that you don't even know are supposed to be part of it yet. You don't even know they're in this box I have. But they're supposed to be part, and I want you to welcome them as a partner. I want you to welcome them so much that you could be joined together with them. Do you think we need discernment this day? We need the discernment to know what people do we resist and say, I just can't hang out with you. I just can't be with you. You bring an influence or a mindset that is contrary to that of God. And which ones do we need to start welcoming in? Who in your workplace or in your neighborhood or your family group? It's God is saying, watch what I'm doing, and then welcome them in wholeheartedly. I'm glad there's also going to be some like Cornelius. If you go on, if you read Acts chapter 9, you read about Paul. If you read Acts chapter 10, you read about another person who is not part of the body of Christ. And then, he was Cornelius. It said there was a man at Caesarea named Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort, a devout man, one who feared God with all his household and gave many alms to the Jewish people, prayed to God continually. He's one of those good people we know but are not yet in the body of Christ. You know, there's a number of those around us too. People that are good, people that say, well, I believe in God. It's that Jesus stuff I don't understand, you know. So we know that they need to know about Jesus. They need to know he's the only way. He's the way to become a part of the Father's family and to become one in the body of Christ. But we can't excuse the fact that they're good. That's not enough. They have to have a belief. And so Peter was sent to them, and Peter said, well, wait a minute. That's a Gentile. And we're the Jewish people, and we have the truth now, this us group. We have the truth of Jesus Christ, and they're good, but they're not part of our group. There's some good people around you that aren't part of your group, aren't part of your clique, part of, you know, who you hang with. And God said, it's time to reach out and let them come in. And be careful that we don't just excuse it and say they don't have any need of coming in because they're already good people. Good people will actually go to hell. Good people will not be welcomed into heaven, into eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Only people who have accepted Jesus Christ, the work of Jesus. And so let's be careful also about not taking hold of those ones. Oh, look at this group over here. You guys are amazing. How did you ever think they would be this quiet doing this? I think, God, let us be that intent. You know why? Because they're realizing, wow, this is kind of fun. It's kind of fun to put pieces together and see something being made. It's kind of fun to see it come together. God says, in this day, there's lots of fun for you. You're going to be so delighted and have such joy as you find out, wow, I really like connecting with you. I'm really enjoying fellowshipping with you. I'm really having fun getting to connected with you and becoming closer. In fact, today is going to be that kind of a day. After we leave this room and we go out to get food, making you hungry, as you go out and you're going to get some food and you're going to sit down at a table, I encourage you to be a little bit bold about sitting with somebody different and getting to know some different people, finding out their names, first of all, and we're going to pass out name tags in a few minutes, get their name and learn something about them, share a little bit about yourself. Please be interested in people. And ask questions and get connected with people so that we could encourage the assembling of ourselves together. Because we have, in some ways, when you come into church, you're kind of like, here's all the red barn table people here, you know, and here's all the beautiful blue sky people over here, and here's all the shimmering silver lake, icy lake over here, you know. But God said, there is a time when you have to all come together and be one together. And you know what you're going to discover, some of them. Have you ever done a puzzle with a couple of different people or even just like one other person, and you're doing it, and that person's been collecting all the red pieces, and I've been collecting these, and I find out down here by the silver, there's a little bit of red. And I kind of look over there and, you have one of my pieces. And you have to, yes, I know that's mine. Pull it over to your side, you know. But in a sense, there's this place of saying, you know, we're to be a little more mixed up than we think. You know, so don't kind of get stuck in your one little group, because we are not forsaking what God's doing. Oh, I got hands. Where's Miss Chase? Oh, she's over here. There's Mr. Josh. Pass out. Good job. Hey, that's what, your third one? Fifth one. Whoa, fifth one. Wow, he's one of our puzzle champions here. Okay. So we have to know, what is God saying to us? He's saying, I'm giving you the tools. I've given you the tools of how to be assembled together. If you read through all the epistles, you'll find a lot of tools there. I'm going to read Colossians 3:12 through 17. I'm going to read this also in the Passion. You are always and dearly loved by God, each one of you. Robe yourself with the virtues of God, since you've been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. Be compassionate. Show kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weakness of those in the family of faith. Forgive each other in the same way you've been graciously forgiven by Christ Jesus. If you find fault with someone, release the same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme, must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the Anointed One, who called you to peace as part of his body. Oh, so many words in there. Mercy, understanding, compassion, kindness, gentleness, humility, unoffendable. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith. Forgiving one another. Love is supreme and must flow from each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Of course, this is the day that God would bring this to our attention in a special way, because he's maturing us. We're stepping into the fullness of Christ. We're becoming the mature sons and daughters of God. We are becoming that, so we can step into that. We can do that. I mean, we have a lot of different age groups here, and it's astounding to me that they're all coming together and working together. And God's saying, you've got it in you, you know. Because I'm in you, and you can come together, and you can tolerate, you can be accepting. 1 Corinthians 12:25-28. So there be no division in the body, so that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all members suffer. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. Now you are Christ's body, individually members of it. Now you are Christ's body. Individually, you're all members, individually, but we're becoming that body together. So whatever happens to one member happens to all. If one suffers, everyone suffers. If one is honored, everyone rejoices. You are the body of the anointed one. Each one of you is unique and a vital part of it. Each one of you is unique. You know, this little piece here is unique to the puzzle. And we could get the puzzle all done and we'll discover, where's that piece? Have you ever done a puzzle and you looked on the floor and realized, oh, we knocked those three pieces on the floor? It's very frustrating if you own a dog. Because then you find that piece and you think, it's kind of been mangled. It's going to have to be carefully put in there and won't look quite the same anymore because little doggy has nibbled on it a bit. Thank you. Goodness, he didn't eat it. We'd discovered it. But it is chewed up a bit. It's like, what happened to this piece? It's chewed up a bit. You know, there's people, I'm sorry, but there's people in the body of Christ that have been chewed up by the world. But we're bringing them on in and we're saying, that's okay. You fit right here. You know, doesn't matter to us. We want the whole picture complete. And we're going to, we suffer a little bit together with you because it doesn't look so good. We also celebrate together. When you find that lost piece, what does the God say about the one who, you know, he goes out, he has a lost lamb and he leaves all the rest of the sheep to go get that sheep? And it always seems strange to call a sheep. That doesn't sound singular. Sorry about that, a little phrase here. He goes after that one and finds it, and what does it say he does when he finds it? He rejoices. He rejoices. We're going to rejoice. Let's celebrate together. I should have made that a part of this. I should have made it that when one stands up, when this young lady stands up and says, I'm done, we should have shouted, yay, good job. How many people here have completed at least one puzzle? Oh. Oh. Wait a minute. Stand up. We got to cheer you on. Stand up if you completed one. You did. Woo. If you've completed at least one, stand up. Yay, 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 yay. Oh, come on. You've done a number. Yay. Yay, yay, yay. Thank you very much. You can sit down again. I trust that in the days ahead, months ahead, years, we're going to do a lot of celebrating. Let's make note of the victories of one another, and let's cheer them on. Let's celebrate together, realizing that if you achieve a victory, it's my victory too. If you achieve a victory, it's my victory too. If you feel it, it's mine too. Let's feel it. Let's rejoice in it. And when one is having a challenge, let's recognize that too. Let's be that kind of a body. In other words, let's come together. We're part of the same body. You know, Apostle Bob shared a little illustration last week about, well, how do you know it's part of the same body? It's like, okay, if you take your foot. I don't think I can lift my foot up here. Take your foot and find a hammer. Is that part of my body? Try it. Hit it with a hammer. Oh, my whole body feels it. That's part of my body. But it should be that noticeable. Then when something comes against Greg. Yeah. That we feel it. If something comes against Nana, we know it. And we feel it because I think she's part of our body. He's part of our body. That we know those things and feel it together. And God says that's how close he wants to knit us together. He wants us to be that way together. I'm going to read just a couple more scriptures about what the word says, and then we're going to move on to this. It says, you were called to freedom. Don't turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that. That's what God's word says. They had this extensive law, but he said, the whole law can be fulfilled in this one statement. Love your neighbor as yourself. It goes on and says, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you're not consumed by one another. Bite and devour. That's those critical attitudes. That's that resistant. Don't do that. We come together. God asked me a question. He said, what do you do, Linda, for the sake of unity? And he wanted some specific answers. What do you do for the sake of unity? If you're to pursue and preserve unity, what do you do for that? And I think you can ask that question of yourself. And what do you hold back from doing for the sake of unity? It's easier for me sometimes to start there. I hold back from taking offense or being resentful or, you know, okay, that's it for that person. You know, those kind of statements are kind of, now I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to be with that. All those things, they're not for the sake of unity. So let that question, welcome Holy Spirit to let that question continue to be a part of your life, to say, what can I do in this situation to create or preserve, pursue unity? What do I need to not do to, you know, so I'm not one who breaks up or destroys or ruins the work that God is doing? For he's bringing much together. He's going to bring us together with other congregations and other denominations and other places where people do things a little differently than we do. But we're pursuing unity. We're going to preserve it. We're going to hold to it. We're going to stay to it. 1 Peter 4:8-11. Above all. Above all. Now, if I say above all, you can know this is a significant statement. Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received, another hand up over here, Miss Chase. This gentleman is on a roll, okay? Well, let's just stick with that. Be fervent in your love for one another. This is utmost significance of God saying to us in this day, be fervent in your love for one another. It's not a word I use frequently in my vocabulary, fervent. Oh, you were so fervent in building that. Oh, I think we need a help hand. Anybody here want to help with a puzzle? This gentleman is asking for some help. Okay, be fervent, meaning be eager, be enthusiastic, be passionate, be sincere, be wholehearted. That's how we come together with delight. God's bringing us together, and we're excited about it. Look at this gentleman. Thank you. Coming together and helping out. Wow. A new commandment I give you, he says in John 13. Amen. Cheer that on. That you love one another. Another helper. Even as I loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know you are my disciples. Even as I have love one for another. If you have love for one for another, God says, it's a mark. It's a sign. So when we're in, say when we're our workplace, how we talk about people, things we do, it's evident. But God is saying, we hear my request. We hear what I'm saying. Don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Don't forsake being assembled together. Let me assemble you. Let me put you together with one another in such a way that there's a tightness. I like that when a puzzle is well put together, it really becomes harder to separate it. When it's time to put it in the box, you have to kind of break it all to pieces. Sometimes large sections will separate, which is something of what we've seen in the body of Christ sometimes. But the little individual pieces don't usually separate very easily. God says, when I put something together, you know, I mean, what do we say at a marriage ceremony? You know, what God has joined together, let not man put asunder. In other words, don't separate what I'm putting together. Don't ruin my work. Don't destroy it. I'm sure there's some people here that like to leave this out. Amen. Oh, I got two hands up over here. Oh, you did a hard one. Woo, woo. Yes, sir. Good job. Wow. Powerful. You'll notice when we're going to dismiss in a few minutes, and you'll notice on the we have in the multipurpose room, the big room in the back where the kids usually are a lot of tables set up where you can eat at those tables, or because it's a nice day, some people can go outside. It's questionable. Maybe after you eat, we can stand right outside because there's going to be other games. But actually, on your table, each table has a puzzle. Oh, ho, ho. So you might just have a little fun as you're sitting at the table, and let's see which tables can put together a 100-piece puzzle, or maybe parts of a puzzle anyways, because I know all my talk about puzzles has made you want to go, where do we keep our puzzles? I think I have a puzzle in the back cupboard in the back closet. Yeah, I know you're going to want to pull out a puzzle. Better yet, if you have a Lego set, pull it out and do it. Okay, I have a couple announcements about this, and then I'm going to pray for you. We're going to put name tags on. Since we head out, we're going to have somebody just handing out some name tags and make sure everybody has a name tag. Name tags help you to assemble together. Name tags are like the red of the house, you know? Like we all belong together and I can figure out you're part of the red barn here because you're wearing a name tag and I can say, this is your name. I can say, it's Faye. Because I know her name, okay? It's Vernon? Is that your name? I have some names I don't know as well. Oh, yes. That's why we have to have name tags, so we know. Write the name you want to be called. That's important, you know. If your name is Bernadette, but they call you Bernie, and you like Bernie, write Bernie. But if you prefer Bernadette, write Bernadette, please, so we can learn your name. If you're Chinaza, but you know we do better with Naza, and you're okay with Naza, right? Naza, yes, that helps us to do that. Okay, write your name out clearly. And where are you going to put that name tag for those of you who have been part of us for a long time? Where are you going to stick it? Oh, there we go, Kyle. He knows. He said, right where? Right side. Right. We're going to put it on your right side. That makes it even easier to connect. The reason, because we read from left to right, but if it's on your right side and I come up to you, I can read your name tag and then look at your face and say, Perry. But if you put it in the other way, I'll look at your face and then I have to kind of figure out where's the name tag. Your eyes work better that way if you're born in or have lived in the United States for very long or Western country. That's how it works. So put it on that side. Write it as clearly as you can. No last names or anything, you know, just do that. Okay, so we're going to have name tags. Then we're going to kind of divide up, just casual divide up, in the sense that we're going to have two food lines. So one food line is going to go this way, down the hallway that, as you're going out, would be the hallway to, is that still the way we're going to do it? I got a little notice about this. Okay, so it's a hallway that would be to... As you go out to your left. Okay? Woohoo! Another one over here. Yay! Woohoo! Half of you go that way and you'll start that line. But the other food line, same hallway, but it's coming this way. So what we're asking, because it's a nice day, those of you that are taking a little stroll outside are going to go out the door, which would be to your right, and go around the building and come in the door that way and pick up your food. Okay? If you brought desserts, there's a dessert table. You can give it to one of the workers, and they can help put it out for you. Okay? Let me see. Two lines. Any other instructions? Nope. Okay. Remember, God said, this is a work he's doing. Yeah. Even today, he's doing it. You can expect it. We can expect it in every aspect of our lives, whether it's, you know, a traffic jam or a line at the grocery store or the fun you have sitting at an event you go to or a gathering in the summer or the fall. However it works out, you can expect that God is going to make ways to assemble us together, to make us together. And we are a people, because we're receiving his grace, that are eager for that. Lord, we are. Look at us, Lord. We've heard your word today, and we say yes to it. We say yes. We recognize you are doing a work in your body connecting us together, and we say yes. We ask for help. We say, help us to know how to communicate with one another. Help us to know how to connect with one another. Help us to know how to position ourselves with one another. Lord, in your one verse, it talked about becoming a choreographed group of people. We're doing a beautiful dance, or we're forming a beautiful picture through what you're leading us to do. Holy Spirit, we give you a welcome. We say, move us where you need to move us, position us, give us directions so that we can flow exactly, and so that the end result is glory to you, Lord. We want you to be glorified. We want you to be pleased that you have a body. You have one body of believers. You have a body that is glad to be part of one another. You have a body who loves because you are love, and you flow through us in your nature. Christ, you're the head. Your nature flows through us. We tolerate. We tolerate things that are sometimes hard to tolerate. We're patient. We're kind. We're gentle. We celebrate each other. Oh, Lord, we do all those things because there's a grace that's bounding into us this day. Lord, I declare that this body of believers that's part of Harvest Christian Church and any who are connected to us through as friends or family, I thank you, Lord. I thank you that I declare you are working in us to make us strong together, that we are a strong body. We are a united body of believers. We're part of your body. So wherever you've positioned us in the whole picture, we're strong. We've come together. We thank you, Lord, that it's your work. We acknowledge it's your doing, and we give you praise and honor for it. We glorify you. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, is anybody done here? Some are almost done. You got a ways to go. Well, you guys can keep working if you want. I have to find out if the food's ready. We can't dismiss you yet. Did you finish that big one? Too hard? But you finished a lot of the other ones. This is very frustrating when you start something. I hate to stop. So they may have to keep going. Let me find out if we're ready yet. I'm getting a thumbs up. So thank you, Lord, too, for the food today. Thank you, Lord. This food is nourishing to our bodies. It's pleasant and enjoyable. It's good. We thank you, Lord, for those who are serving it. We give them thanks. We are polite and kind to one another. We thank you for the opportunities. Help our eyes to see what you've set before. So thank you for this day. Thank you for the picnic we're having today. We just celebrate you in the name of Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.